You are listening to the Jazz Notes Podcast. I am your host, James Stratton. And tonight we are going over, well, tonight for me, I don't know about you guys. I always say tonight and I don't think about you. You're probably listening to it in the morning or in the middle of the day or maybe tonight. Hopefully tonight, right? Hopefully you're all standing there waiting for me to drop my podcast. Highly doubt it. But anyways, so tonight I am covering the 20-1-5 Utah Jazz facing against the 11-14 Miami Heat. We're still on this homestand. So the Heat are coming on with their own little home or win streak at 4-0. So they had a pretty rough start. They've had, I don't think they've had an entire roster yet who's played every single game this season. They've had COVID run through them. They've had Jimmy Butler injured for a while. And then I think when he got back, he had a COVID protocol as well. So nothing going the Heat way so far. So it's pretty surprising for some people to go through the standings and see the Heat way down there, especially after getting into the Eastern Conference Finals and winning it and ending up in the finals losing to the Lakers last season. So I think a lot of people were surprised to see them start off so slow, but there are their reasons. They're not even at full strength right now. Neither are we, but right now they're not at full strength and they've got this 4-game winning streak. And we come in with our 6-game winning streak, so one of them's got to end tonight, right? So let's get into the game. Conley, as I said, was out again, so Joe Ingles is starting in his place. So that means Donovan Mitchell is going to move to the point, a little bit more distribution from his end from what we've been seeing so far since he's been taking Conley's place in the lineup as far as position. Both teams are starting off with horrible shooting. Just they're missing wide open shots and not much going on the end, on either end offensively to start this game. Turnovers are really hurting the Jazz early, and the Heat still, And the Heat have like double the field goal attempts early. Usually you see that whenever teams are turning over the ball too much and, or they're allowing offensive rebounds, which they've kind of done both so far early into this game. I believe at one point the Jazz only put up like 5 shots and the Heat already had 12. So just a very terrible start on the Jazz offensive end. The Heat are really starting to capitalize on the Jazz bad shooting start. Going up 13-4 halfway through. So 6 minutes in and we only have 4 points. So if that's really telling you what's going on, I mean, we're 0-7 already behind the three. And most of them are very good looks. I think there was only one bad look. I think it was Mitchell who's trying to get a foul while he was shooting a 3-pointer and didn't get it. So I mean, it's very understandable. I mean, the whole live by the three, die by the three, we can really see it at this point, right? Bogey gives up on the three now, so he's kind of given up, and he's starting to attack the rim, and he's doing a great job. He's making baskets, he's drawing fouls, and on the other end, on the defensive end, Royce O'Neal's quick ball slaps have worked twice already. Back in a previous podcast, I started noticing that as the players drove into the lane on a fast break, he'd make this like very aggressive, hard ball slap. Most of the times, at the beginning of the season at least, he'd get hand and ball. So yeah, he'd foul and it's understandable. But I liked it still because one, it stopped the play. Two, they haven't gathered to get their shot yet. Or if they have, they had to make, you know, they had to make 2 free throws instead of getting an easy bucket. And right now, he got 2 in a row when the Heat were on this fast break, slapping the ball away without fouling, and so we stole the ball. So just very great improvement on O'Neal. I think that's a really cool addition into this game, or into his game that I've noticed. The threes are not dropping at all still for the Utah Jazz, and there's just a lid on the rim right now for them. And when the first three hit, it's from Mitchell, and it's like they missed their first 100 threes. That's what it felt like. It was only like a few minutes left into the first quarter. I believe the first quarter they missed their first 10 three-pointers before they hit their first. And I mean, Niang and Rudy right now are having this alley-oop connection. I think it happened twice last game, or almost happened twice. And Niang's really finding Rudy in the lane right now. And something that is in addition to his game from what we've seen, we usually, he was kind of just our 3-point specialist, just standing there at the corner. He's really improved taking the ball into the rack and finding opportunities, especially this last two games. After one, the Jazz are down 21-18. I mean, overall, we played very good defense. It's just our offensive side hasn't capitalized on it yet. Foreshadowing again, right? And so, I mean, I have no complaints for this. I mean, we held them 21. We just can't get baskets in. And I feel very comfortable going to the second quarter. Defense is starting to slack now. So as I was thinking that, and the Heat are getting their man open. When the Jazz do score, it's primarily, there we go, in the paint. And halfway through this second quarter, it's a 36-34 ball game. So they were able to climb back a little bit after the Heat. I think they got up by 9 points at one point in that early part of the second quarter. Jazz are missing opportunities to really break open this game. They're playing very well defense, but the offensive end just can't connect with those open shots. So we're stopping team they're stopping on one end, and they just can't capitalize on the other. That's probably going to be the key word of this game is capitalize, right? Still great bowl, not bowl. Man, I can't talk tonight. I'm so sorry. Still great ball movement from our Jazz, even though nothing seems to fall and we're continuing our offense. So, I mean, we've seen this in the past where if it's not working, if Quinn Snyder's plan isn't working on the offensive end, we can see the Jazz really starting their ISO play and giving up on the plays and giving up on distributing the basketball. We haven't really seen that much these past few games when nothing's working. The Jazz aren't getting frustrating. They're still running their sets. They're still finding that open man, and it's just the open man's not hitting anything right now. And the Jazz make the Heat have this 6-minute scoreless drought now, and they got 14 points off that during the streak. So now they're starting to kind of get the basket in, and starting to build a lead now. And Gobert's free throw game at the same time has really improved these past few games. I mean, very impressive so far, and just happy to see that he knows where his weakness is this game or this season so far, and it seems like he's addressing it. I mean, besides shooting 6 feet further from the rim, but I mean, none of us really expect that from him right now. Jazz go up into the half up 47-42, and we're only 3 for 21 on 3-pointers this half. So that's let me do a quick math. I should have done it before. Again, I'm so sorry for not getting all these stats ready for you. You're sitting there, probably already know what it is for these math geniuses. That's 14%. I mean, we're usually around the 40% mark, so that's just terrible. Let's get into the third quarter. Donovan Mitchell heats up. He has 7 quick points to start the half. They go on a 7-0 run, all thanks to Donovan Mitchell. Hits every shot. One of them's a three, and now threes are pretty much going down early this quarter for the Jazz. And he can't really get anything to drop. It's just another long scoreless drought for them. They had one at the end of the second half, and they were able to get 6 points before going into halftime, and now they're on another scoreless drought. So, and what's nice about them, they didn't seem really frustrated at the same time. I know they just continued to run their sets and everything, and it just wasn't happening for them. Let's see here, where am I? The Heat are, man, I am doing terrible this podcast. If this is your first time listening, this is not how it usually is. I mean, I'm a lot better. But I don't edit. I don't sit there and edit things and take things out. So you get the real me. The only time I stop is like last game when my kid needed a drink. So I stopped my podcast and went upstairs and got her a drink. So the Heat can't get anything to drop. It's just another scoreless drought. Talked about that, so that's where I was. And this time it's a 16-0 run for the Jazz, and halfway through, the Jazz are up 63 to 42. Yeah, 42 points. If you remember, that's 0 points so far from the Heat. So just great defense. Perfect defense, I guess you would like to say, from the Jazz so far this half. Both teams start trading baskets now during this stretch. And again, O'Neal's defense is great. He gets two like quick steals in a row. And now Niang has four threes. Just very impressive these past two games, like I've said before. Just happy to see that he's getting into his groove again. I don't know what keeps going on, but he seems to be out of it. But now he's back in it, and that's all that really matters right now. And the Jazz are up big going into the fourth quarter, up 21 points, 71 to 57. We score 31 points that quarter, and they only score 15. So just a very, very good quarter. Now this fourth quarter is going to be really short, mainly because there's not much to report. Oni is now showing his growth. He's hustling and getting the offensive boards. There's two times in a row he gets the offensive board and goes back up to make the basket and gets fouled in the process. So very good improvement seeing him on the floor, you know, stepping up, getting some minutes in now that Conley has been out a few games. And there's, like I said, there's not much to say this quarter. It's a very back and forth game with defenses slacking a bit. And the Jazz just maintaining their lead around 20. I think 1 point they get up about 23, 24. And then the Heat bite it down to about 15. But that's pretty much it. And then like Rudy gets 5 points in a row right when they get to that 15-point mark. So we go back up by 20 quick. The bench is clear at 2 minutes left. It's like 111 to 92. I didn't write down the score, but because the final score was 112 to 94. I mean, overall, just looking at this game, you'd think the team that's coming from a game the night prior was the Miami Heat, but in fact, it's the Utah Jazz. They have gone so far undefeated on these back-to-back games. They've won both games every single time, and it's just great to see. So just this resiliency that the Jazz have to be able to dig a little deeper going into every single game, especially during a run. I mean, a run like this is not hard or not easy to do. They're on a 17-game winning games out of 18. So they're 17-1. I mean, that's very hard to do in this league, especially this is probably like the most evenly distributed league I've seen in a while. There's no, like, there's your clear top like super teams as far as the Los Angeles Lakers, and you can argue the Brooklyn Nets, but because their defense is so horrible, it's kind of hard to keep them in that category. But this league is actually very evenly distributed. You're going to almost every single game with a potential loss. I mean, you look at the one of the worst teams, the Detroit Pistons, and all they can do is seem to beat these elite teams. I don't think they beat any team under 500 so far. Let's get into the stats. Field goal percentage, we're 46% actually. We like to keep that around. I like to keep it. I keep saying we, but it's really me. It's 50%. 3-point shooters, 26%. I mean, we doubled our percentage mark. But we went 12 for 46. We still threw up as many threes as we used to, if not more, because we were getting these wide open shots, just they weren't dropping. So it's, you know, understandable how we got 26%. But yeah, living by the three, dying by the three is, I mean, I think we just really, our defense really just stepped up this game. Our free throw percentage was 76%, so we're slowly climbing up, especially with Rudy Gobert being able to be a little bit better on those free throws. We out-rebound 48 to 43, so that's good. And then our assist to field goal ratio was 26 out of 39. That's 67%. That's very, very good. Yeah, we get 11 steals, which is pretty great. But we still give up 16 turnovers. That's high. I mean, it was just a very defensive game overall, so you can't really complain about it this that, you know, too much. And it seemed like the whistles were always going for the Heat this game, but honestly, it was very evenly called game. 21 fouls apiece. But yeah, just a very aggressive defensive game from both teams. It just happened that, you know, the Jazz had two very good stretches of a total of 30-0 run. I think technically it was like, I think it was like 33-6 if you want to combine like the overall points. So because of those really good defensive stops for the Jazz, we were able to pull it away. And very good to see. I mean, maintaining a team to score 0 points throughout 6 minutes twice in a game, you're gonna win basketball games. Even when you're shooting 26% three pointers and you're supposed to live and die by this three, and you know, it's just not the case so far. I mean, whenever the Rockets were struggling on the three pointer with Harden and Chris Paul or Westbrook in, they were losing games because they didn't have a defense to show up and really stop these teams. And that's what really makes this Jazz team so dangerous. And and the league is starting to really wake up, and I hate it because I like being the silent team that, you know, why are they winning, you know, and nobody cares. They're also very fun to watch too, so that hurts, because I know when the Jazz were doing really well in 07, they weren't, you know, to quote, very fun team to watch. Even though they were a pretty good team, nobody, you know, tuned in because it was just like this. It was very unselfish play of basketball. They're finding the open man. The people were doing their job that they're supposed to, and that will get into our notes of the game. So our notes of the game, F note is the worst, and the ABC note are like the 3 stars of hockey, with A note being the best player of the game. F note, I mean, I'm just looking at these stats and I can't really give it to anyone. Everybody did their jobs. I mean, Bogey, you know, our quote unquote 3-point specialist. Yeah, he didn't really hit any threes, or at an impressive rate. He did hit a three at least one. Now I have to go check because I hate being, you know, listening to this later and double checking. So he was 2 for 6, but he did his job as far as getting shots in. He still scored his 19 points. Again, he scored his quiet 19, but he was able to find the shots in the field. So it's one of these rare games where I'm not giving it to anyone because nobody really deserves it. No one really deserves it. And so the F note is the first half 3-point game. 3 for 21. Even our second half 3-point mark, I mean, we're only 9 for 20, you know. 25, just doing quick math, 9 for 25. So it's not much better, but at least, you know, we're starting to hit them in that second half. So that's all I have to say. I mean, that's all I can give out. C-note of the game is George Niang with 14 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, and 1 steal. Just a very impressive game, very controlled, and he looks like he's starting to get a lot more comfortable out there on the floor. He seemed like that in the bubble, and it was just surprising to see the slow start from him so far. And then he got pretty hot, and then out of nowhere, he just disappeared again, and now he's back. So hopefully, he stays that consistent as far as staying comfortable on the court, and that's all it is. The B note of the game is Rudy Gobert, 16 points, 12 rebounds, 3 blocks, plus and minus margin of positive 17, which is not the highest. It was actually Joe Ingles who had 30. Yeah, 30 plus and minus. And then the A note of the game is Royce O'Neal, 8 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks, plus and minus a positive 16. Just the defensive anchor of this game. And they say it in the game because they pull up stats. It's like Andre Kirilenko type of game. And, you know, anytime someone says that, it really makes me perk up seeing how he's my favorite player of all time. So, but yeah, it's true. I mean, he was just, you know, there was one time where Andre Kirilenko, I think he actually did it twice, where he got 6 or over 5 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, steals, and blocks. And I think there's one point where he did all of it with 6. So, he almost made it. He needed one more assist, 2 more steals, and 2 more blocks. But I mean, just overall rounded game. Yes, he didn't score any threes at all. He was 0 for 3. He didn't have a great shooting night at all. But, I mean, not everything is about scoring, especially this game, especially when we're struggling on the field, we're not making our shots, and now the defense has to step up, and that's what Royce O'Neal did. I mean, by all means, Donovan Mitchell and Bojan Bogdanović were both our leading scorers of the game, and they didn't even crack the top three players of the game. They did great. All players did great this game. They did their job. They did what they're supposed to. You had Joel Ingles facilitating. You had Derek Favors doing what he's supposed to do with his limited minutes that he knew and accepted when he came over. Jordan Clarkson had an off-shooting night again, but he kept going and he kept going. He was also distributing the ball very well this game, getting 5 assists. So, I mean, everybody was picking up their game and really, really playing it. I mean, even Maya Oney, who was scoreless on the field, I mean, the dude had 3 offensive rebounds, and he was able to hit all of his shots on the free throw line when he got, you know, fouled twice. So let me double check. He made all of his shots. I believe he did. Yeah, 4 for 4. So just a great game from the Jazz. Very happy. Let's go into our overall stats now. When I like to keep teams, I like to see the Jazz keep teams under 25 points. So I have this little tally going. So whenever we allow a team under 25 points going to the second, we're now 14-2. Whenever they're under 40 points going to halftime, we're now 14-1. And this is the great part. Under 75 points going into the final quarter, we're 11-0. And every single time teams score under 100 points, we're 9-0. So that's what I really like to see, because I've seen it. You know, the Jazz are just playing this great, great basketball. They're now 22-5, number one in the league.
Number one.
I had to do that. Sorry. I know maybe some of you are getting sick of it. I'm not. It's fun for me. And let's go into tonight's game. I think all the games are over now, because I actually started this late. Had a little date night, celebrated Valentine's early. Recorded the game, and I think I started watching the game right before halftime started. So I was able to catch up before the end, and now I'm recording this. So the Suns beat the 76ers 120-111. That's the team we play next on Monday at 7 o'clock. And then the Pacers beat the Hawks 125-113. The Knicks just destroy the Rockets 121-99, and the Warriors just go off on the Nets go off on the Warriors 134-117. So again, we play the 76ers at home at 7 o'clock on Monday, so don't miss it. I said back in my quarter year review that I recorded a little bit that I believe that the 76ers are the Jazz's kryptonite. So I wouldn't be too surprised if they pull one out. But, of course, always rooting for the Jazz to have a game plan. I mean, we have Quinn Snyder, who is very good at these game plans, as long as the players have stick to it like they have this whole streak. We really win these basketball games. But the reason why I say that they could be our kryptonite is you have their point guard, their star point guard, who doesn't shoot any threes at all, who drives only, you know, making baskets. Coming in with Ben Simmons, and then you have Joel Embiid, who can make a three-pointer, so you're now pulling out Rudy Gobert, and you can't really switch onto a bogey side, because then if he gets inside the basket, then you have to worry about Rudy slipping out down and covering two players now. So it would be interesting to see what Quinn Snyder's tactics are going into the game, how they're going to be able to tackle this issue. I know anytime that these teams score a very high rate of inside the paint, we have a bigger struggle to this game. So I know Quinn's going to come up with a great ingenious way. I can't really think of something right now except for just playing our continued defense, maybe switching to a 3-2 zone at times whenever the driving, and if the driving is just extremely prevalent, make it a 3-2 or 2-3 zone. So it'll be very interesting to see how Coach Q handles this game. So anyways, thanks for listening. I'm not going to update standings because there's only like 3 games. I did that last podcast, but As always, you know the gist. See you in a couple, or I guess not see you, but listen to you and or listen to me ramble or whatnot in a couple nights after the 76ers game. Hopefully I'm not mad and I'm happy just like I am right now. Didn't really yell from the microphone except for my standard yell. So anyways, thanks for listening. And as always, go Jazz.